Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So we've had now a week to recover from the Olympics. I've been experiencing Olympics withdrawal symptoms, getting to bed early for a change instead of staying up until after midnight watching synchronized swimming. So I did not watch synchronized swimming. Don't give me a hard time. But yeah, I love the Olympics. I think I've talked about it on the show before. I watched all the swimming, pretty much a lot of the track and field. I think it's just the only time ever where you actually get to watch swimming and track and field. Nobody watches the world championships or any other kind of meet. So it's fun once every 4 years to really get immersed in the incredible achievements of these individual athletes. You know, the gymnastics. Wow. I mean, it was just spectacular to watch. And what it symbolizes more than anything, this is one area in life in which we accept inequality for what it is. We're just not equal, folks. We really aren't. Some people are incredibly talented, incredibly dedicated, incredibly focused, and incredibly hardworking. I mean, these gymnasts that represented the U.S., but not just the U.S., the gymnasts that represented Russia, the gymnasts that represented Brazil, yesterday we saw a couple of Italian, last week we saw a couple of Italians and others. So they saw all kinds of countries, no Romanians this year, which was kind of weird and interesting. But these gymnasts work unbelievably hard to achieve unbelievable skills that are above and beyond anything I could imagine doing or anything I could imagine anybody I know doing. And instead of the feeling of envy, which we often have towards people who've achieved a lot, particularly if they've achieved it in the financial realm, we sit in awe and admiration of the achievements of these individuals and the rewards they get, which are not monetary, the reward they get from winning, from achieving, from being the best or being among the best, and just competing, the joy, the excitement of competing. But this is an area, sports generally, and the Olympics in particular, is an area in which we are quite happy as a culture, quite happy as individuals, to celebrate achievement. And yet in almost every other realm, we want to come down on achievers, particularly these days, right? America used to be a land which celebrated the achievers, celebrated success, was the land in which, we admired those who achieved great things. And it seems like today, I think fewer and fewer people are watching the Olympics because fewer and fewer people are interested in great achievement. I think the political correctness of the world out there says, why are we celebrating gold medalists when there are people suffering in the street, when there are homeless people? Our whole culture is pivoted away from greatness, from valuing greatness, from admiring greatness, from celebrating greatness, to putting greatness down, to being cynical and skeptical and being, and wanting to tax it and regulate it and control it. And why can't everybody be the same? Why can't all you want to achieve is equality? But, we're not equal. We're not equal. And it's great that there are people that are better than me at gymnastics. You don't want to see me flipping along on trying to go on a balance beam. I couldn't even get up on the machine on the thing. Never mind doing flips on the floor. Right? Isn't it great that we have great achievement? And this is true of baseball and basketball and whatever your sport happens to be. It's great that there are people who are unbelievably good at something, and that, you know, we can enjoy watching them. We don't, and it again, it's fascinating that we don't, you know, American culture is mixed. There are portions of the culture, kind of the radical left, the intellectuals, the professors, the people out there who kind of poo-poo sports and look down on athletics. And, you know, they are consistent in their egalitarianism. They attack the wealthy. They attack the successful. They attack the rich. They just hate success. And some of them are consistent enough to apply that even to sports. But then most Americans, even though today they resent success, or there seems to be an increasing trend towards resenting success in economic sphere. You know, the whole inequality debate, the whole discussion about the evils of inequality, which permeates our culture, the whole discussion of the wealthy, somehow we're okay with that in sports. Somehow our culture still tolerates, if you will, success in sport, even though it doesn't tolerate economic success, business success, because the one is associated with money, and we've demonized money. We've demonized business. We attribute economic success to a bizarre zero sum. When we look at athletes, and this is interesting, kind of, when we look at athletes, most people can say, yep, I can't do that. I've tried shooting the basketball. I can't do it. LeBron James, he's better than me. There's no question that he's better than me. Wow, look at that. I'm willing to pay big bucks to watch LeBron James play. And therefore, the fact that he makes a lot of money, the fact that he's better than me at basketball, that's okay. I'm willing to accept that. But then we watch a businessman be incredibly successful. And we go, oh, what's the difference between him and me? You know, what makes him so successful? I don't get it. I don't. It's just luck. It's just luck. That's what's driving his success. So I want some of his stuff. Let's tax him 50%. Let's beat him down. Let's regulate him to death. I don't trust these business people. Athletes, that's fine. These business people, I really don't trust them. I really don't trust them. You know, we got to achieve equality of outcome. We got to achieve equality of wealth. You know, nobody wants to achieve equality in sports. Although, again, there are intellectuals out there that say that we should not be awarding medals, that awarding medals is discriminates between the able and the people who don't have ability. It's not right. It's not fair. There are intellectuals out there that say that, you know, and in some sports leagues among kids now, they don't keep score. We don't want winners and losers. We don't want inequality. Now, all of that, in my view, is just plain evil. It's just horrible. We are unequal. We are different. And that's great that we're unequal, because I cannot get on that balance beam. And I love watching other people do it. And you know what? I can't write software. And I can't create a Microsoft. I'm just not good at it. Isn't it wonderful that we live in a free society where people can focus, become experts at what they are good at? And shouldn't we celebrate that? Shouldn't we celebrate the fact that people, without taking anything away from me, you know, the fact that Simone Biles is so good at what she does takes nothing away from me. The fact that Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, the young entrepreneur that just took his company public and made $1 billion, they took nothing away from me. Quite the contrary. The difference is that in sport, you know, the most I can benefit is from the enjoyment of watching it. But when somebody builds a company and creates enormous wealth, I'm benefiting in so many ways from that wealth. I'm benefiting from the fact that, you know, to create that wealth, they're producing new products that in one way or another I'm going to benefit from. They're employing people that are creating additional wealth that is then going to be used to buy other products, that is going to create new malls and new stores and new goods and new opportunities for me and my kids and the people I care about. So in business, when somebody makes it, when somebody makes a lot of money in a free market, granted, not in the world of cronyism. We'll get to cronyism in a little bit, talking about the Olympics, talk about cronyism. But in a free market, when somebody makes it big in business, we all benefit. We're all better off. We have goods we didn't have before. We have lower prices we didn't have before. We have jobs we didn't have before. We have around us infrastructure we didn't have before. Infrastructure that's paid for by taxing those rich guys who make all that money. So inequality is something to be celebrated, not just in the Olympics. Inequality is something to be celebrated in life. And to learn more about that, you can read my book, Equal is Unfair. You can get it on Amazon or anywhere else that books are sold. You're listening to Iran Book Show. We'll be right back to talk more about the Olympics right after this.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. Northbound Lakeshore Drive solid between 31st and Roosevelt, also heavy between Grand and Chicago. Southbound lanes pretty heavy between the Oak Street Curve in Chicago and again between the Stadium and the Stevenson Expressway. On the inbound Kennedy, it's heavy between the O'Hare Extension and Circle. O'Hare to downtown is 50 from the Junction 21. The outbound lanes takes about 13 minutes downtown to the Junction. 33 to O'Hare Express lanes are at 14. Inbound Eisenhower, Thorndale to the Post Office, just under an hour from Mannheim is 39. And also on the Stevenson heading inbound from 355 to Lakeshore Drive is 56. From the Tri-State, it takes about 45. Finally, inbound Dan Ryan, there's a report of a crash near 67th, 20 minutes 95th to downtown. Tonight, 69 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 80 and cloudy. Currently, 82 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You wake up in the morning, and you want to know what's going on and what happened while you were asleep. You could grab your smartphone and wade through endless cat videos. Or you could listen to that other radio station, you know, that's talking about last night's ball game.
Winning records for starting pitchers matter anymore.
Or you could turn on Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson and get up to speed fast with the latest news, traffic, and weather on AM 560, The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Raj Shah, host of Secure Retirement Radio, Chicago's safe money specialist.
We are going to manage a portfolio to the extent where every single month you know and you feel confident that no matter what market it is, that you don't need to play the guessing game and time the market, because it's not timing the market, it's time in the market.
Tune in for Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Chicago's safe money specialist. Sunday mornings at 7 here on AM 560, The Answer.
I'm Shalom Klein. Join me each week for the Get Down to Business radio show. This show is packed with ideas that will inspire as you search for best practices to grow your business. Whether you are an experienced entrepreneur or just learning the ropes, Get Down to Business will tackle the issues affecting your everyday work life. Get Down to Business is powered by Tandem HR. Exceptional workplace, exceptional people. Listen each week to Get Down to Business with me, Shalom Klein. Heard tomorrow afternoon at 6, right here on AM 560.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
I love the Olympics, as you can tell. I'm inspired by it, and I love the inequality of it. I love the fact that there are people in the Olympics who can do things I cannot do. I love the fact that I can be entertained by these people. It's just, and I have to say, watching it on television is a lot of fun. And I know there's a lot of criticism. There was a lot of criticism of the coverage of the Olympics, and you know, I'm sure it's I'm sure that if I really analyzed it, I could be critical of a lot of the stuff. But I watched it for fun, and there was a lot to be entertained. There was a lot of good stuff. There was I love the achievement, and I wish we lived in a culture that didn't just admire achievement in sport, because we do. We love the World Series. We love baseball. We love football. We love hockey. We love, you know, basketball. And we love the athletes and so on. And it's the one area in life, sports, where we still celebrate and admire achievement. You know, that, and I'd say the other, only other place is in superhero movies, right? But of course, even in movies, to be a hero, you have to be a superhero. We don't have any normal heroes anymore. I'd love to get back to an era, you know, the era where we had Westerns and the era where we had just heroic movies where ordinary people, remember, I know some of you might remember Hitchcock movies and other movies, where ordinary people rose up and achieved great things, and they didn't have superpowers. It drives me nuts that the only movies today which have heroism, which have achievement, which have, great success, you have to have a superpower in order to attain, or you have to be a dark, brooding, anti-hero. The only place in American culture today, in world culture, really, because this is even worse, much worse in Europe, the only place where we can celebrate success, we can celebrate achievement, human achievement, real world achievement, unapologetically, is in sports. It used to be true that was true in television and in the movies, and once in a while you get that in television and in the movies, but it's very rare. It's very rare, right? And usually when somebody is a hero on television and really successful, we have to destroy them at the end. Like in 24, right? You remember 24? I love that show, 24. We beat up on all the terrorists, killed them all, destroyed them all. Incredible, incredible hero. But he was miserable. We have to make the heroes miserable, right? They have to suffer. They can't just be good. Whereas Phelps could be incredible in the pool. He can have an amazing wife and a baby. And he's what, worth $50, $55 million, I saw somewhere, because of all the endorsements. And he can live happily ever after, and everybody's, yeah, that's great. But we can't do that in movies. We can't do that in art. And we certainly can't do that in real life outside of sports. So it's fascinating to me that this is the one realm. And it saddens me that even in this realm, you get constant attacks. You got constant attempts, even in sports, to undercut. And it hasn't really gotten to the point where American culture has accepted those attacks. But if you go to university professors, if you go down to intellectuals, they don't really like the sports thing. They don't really like the admiration Americans have for sports. It's unequal. These people are making a lot of money. And you know, it's not fair that LeBron James is so talented in basketball. This is really views held by the professors teaching your kids at colleges, that you're spending gazillions of dollars sending your kids to college. And this is the garbage that they're teaching your kids. And I worry about future generations and whether this admiration for sports, this admiration for achievement is sustainable. Because look, we used to admire great business heroes. We don't anymore. We used to admire, you know, a great achievement. And I don't think we do anymore. We resent it. And this is the whole campaign against inequality that you're seeing, and Hillary and Bernie, you know, Bernie represented more than anybody, but Hillary represents it. And this is what they're pushing. They're pushing resentment of success, resentment of achievement, resentment of business, resentment of wealth. And what is wealth? Wealth is Olympic style achievement in the realm of business, which actually benefits all of our lives 1,000 times more, a gazillion times more than anything sports can. You would much rather live in a world without sports, but where businessmen could be free and achieve huge things, than the opposite, a world with great sports and no businessmen. Because without business owners, we'd all be poor, including, by the way, the athletes. The athletes would be poor because ultimately sports is entertainment. We can afford entertainment because we're rich. We as a culture, America as a culture, in spite of all the economic problems, in spite of how much poverty there is in America today, relative poverty, right? Because we are the richest society in the world that has ever existed. And that's why we can afford, in a sense, to pay Michael Phelps $50, $55 million. That's why, you know, we can afford to pay LeBron James. I don't know how much LeBron James is worth, hundreds of millions of dollars. The only reason we can afford it is because we're rich enough to be able to buy a ticket to go watch a basketball game. You ask some guy in Africa to come and watch a basketball game in an arena in the can't afford the ticket. They can't afford the stuff, the Nike shoes that all these athletes make a gazillion dollars off of those Nike shoes. We can afford to buy Nike shoes because we're rich. We're a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy culture. We take it for granted. And we take the people who made us a wealthy culture for granted. Because the people who make us a wealthy culture are people who created Nike, who built the shoe companies, who then figured out where to make the shoes cheapest and best. And then we accuse them of, you know, sweatshops and whatever. They're the people at Microsoft and at Google. They're the people who created the steel industry and created the auto industry. They're the people who built America. The people who built America are not politicians. It drives me nuts when we celebrate politicians. Who cares who the greatest president ever was? All politicians can do, given that our best politicians were the founding fathers, all politicians can do post-founding fathers is not screw up. A great politician is one who hasn't screwed up. But almost every politician does screw up our freedoms. So I don't want to celebrate politicians, but you know who I do want to celebrate? What we should have holidays for, what we should have celebrations around, are the great business leaders who built this country. The United States went from being a third-rate colony when it was founded in 1776 to the richest country in human history, really, by the time World War I started. And so 150 years, basically, we went from so-so to the richest place on the planet. And that's not because of politicians, other than the founders. They set us all off. They created the environment that made that wealth creation possible. Not natural resources. Natural resources were always here, and yet American Indians weren't very rich. Not academics, not intellectuals, not the New York Times, not Yale or Princeton. We became that rich because of self-made businessmen, because of great bankers like J.P. Morgan, because of Carnegie and Mellon, because of people who today we call robber barons. How unjust is that? It's an unbelievable injustice. The people who built this country, the people who made this country, the people who created the wealth that we all benefit from today, that we all live with today, we call robber barons, as if they're criminals. We teach our kids, 19th century, those industrial revolution, that was a bad period. These were giants. None of the stuff we have today, we would have today without them. We're rich because of them. And then from them, we got the Fords and all the auto guys and the steel guys. And as a consequence of that, we had enough wealth so we could launch a technological revolution from Hewlett Packard on to the latest entrepreneur starting a company in our Silicon Valley. And we all benefit from that. And we need to stop resenting it. We need to start celebrating it. We need to start treating these people as heroes. We need to stop taxing and regulating them to death. We need to recognize that America is the land of the free. And freedom means the ability to go up and produce and create and build, not take, redistribute, and control. All right. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show. If you like what you're hearing here, you can follow me on Twitter. You're at Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. We're here every week. And we'll be right back after the break with more on achievements.
Back. The biggest conservative event in the Midwest returns this October. It's Freedom Summit Chicago 2016. October 29th in Itasca. Featuring Alan West, Michelle Malkin, Mike Gallagher, Stephen Moore, Dan Proff, Amy Jacobson, Joe Walsh, and many more. Tickets start at just $29. Order your tickets today at freedomsummitchicago.com. That's freedomsummitchicago.com. Sponsored in part by Precision Payroll of America, Chicago Anesthesia and Pain Specialists, and by the Illinois Policy Institute.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Continuing his outreach to minority voters, Donald Trump pledges to bring law and order to America's inner cities, citing the recent Chicago murder of a cousin of NBA star Dwayne Wade.
This shouldn't happen in our country. This shouldn't happen in America.
Trump at a rally in Des Moines, Iowa. The Twitterverse says Trump is trying to politicize a tragedy. Controversy in the NFL as a quarterback refuses to stand for the national anthem.
49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick sparking a firestorm, refusing to stand for the national anthem during Friday night's preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. Kaepernick says it's about more than football and will accept any backlash that comes with the decision. He told NFL media he's not going to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses blacks and people of color.
Fox's Will Carr. The league says players are not required to stand for the anthem. Fox News. We report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. Northbound Lakeshore Drive solid between 31st and Roosevelt, also between Grand and Chicago. And at Randolph, the exit ramp remains closed until 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Southbound lanes heavy between the Oak Street Curve and Chicago. Also pretty heavy between the stadium and the Stevenson Expressway. Inbound Eden from Lake Hook to the junction is 27. The outbound lanes is 22. Inbound Kennedy, O'Hare to downtown 50. From the junction 21, outbound lanes heavy between Pulaski and Canfield, downtown to the junction 13, to O'Hare 33, express lanes are at 14. Inbound Eisenhower, Thorndale to the post office, just under an hour from Mannheim, takes about 39. And on the outbound Eisenhower, from the post office Mannheim is 34, to Thorndale 47. Tonight 69 and cloudy, tomorrow 80 and cloudy, currently it's 82 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Know that sound? That's the sound of trouble for CPAP users. Did you know that just one drop of water in your CPAP system can become a breeding ground for mold and bacteria? Breathe that stuff in and you're battling respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But here's good news. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It's the healthier way to clean your system because it kills 99.9% of germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-400-9280. SoClean makes cleaning your CPAP a breeze. It's completely hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let one drop of water wreak havoc on your body. Call SoClean.com now for your risk-free trial while supplies last. 1-800-400-9280. That's 1-800-400-9280.
Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So we've been talking about great achievements, and you know, I'm kind of wondering how come we admire and still respect great achievement in sport, but we don't do that in business and in other realms in life. And, you know, we pay so much attention to politics and these bastards who all they do is destroy and limit and constrain. And imagine if politicians really got their hands on some of our sports teams. Imagine if our intellectuals, our universities, the people who teach our kids got to apply their ideas to sports. Forget it, right? The athletic world would be destroyed. Imagine if our politicians regulated sports like they regulate business, like they regulate automobiles, or like they regulate airplanes. We would have athletics. The quality of athletics would be the same as it was 50 years ago. It's just unbelievable to me that we have in different realms of our lives, we just have different approaches. We celebrate achievement in one place. I guess my point is that I want to celebrate achievement everywhere. I want to celebrate achievement in everything, and I think we all should. All right, I want to shift gears a little bit, you know, because I want to go back to this Olympics theme, and I want to talk a little bit about kind of a darker side of the Olympics. And this is because, you know, I'm a huge admirer of the athletes. I'm a huge admirer of achievement, and I love watching the Olympics. One also has to recognize the fact that there's an immense amount of corruption here. And there's the whole way in which the Olympics are structured is a celebration of collectivism, of cronyism, of nationalism, of some pretty, I think, ugly things that are going on in the background. And what I do when I watch the Olympics, when I watch the Olympics in the past, is I blank out on those. I ignore those because I want to just enjoy myself. And if I keep at the top of my mind what the Olympics have done to the city of Rio, for example, the corruption the politicians are being engaged in, the corruption, the cronyism that some businessmen are being engaged in Rio and other cities around the world that have hosted the Olympics. And then, of course, the International Olympic Committee and the amount of money they get and the way they structure these deals. And it's just devastation that is often left in the wake of the Olympics. You know, the Olympics is an interesting proposition. Only governments could do this. It is for the host city. It is a net loss in almost all cases. In almost all cases, I think the exception might be LA, but other than that, I think in almost all cases, the Olympics are massive losses. Now, suddenly, so they basically tax their people, they get all this money, and then they spend it on infrastructure, some of which is useful. Much of it is not. Then they built stadiums that often turn into white elephants that are never, ever used. In Rio, they created golf courses. They create all these facilities. There's massive poverty in Rio. You know, some people got extraordinarily rich off of these Olympics because they had the inroads in with the local city government. So, you know, cronyism at its worst is manifest there. They use the police and the equivalent of the National Guard in Rio to try to pacify, to reduce violence. But once the Olympics are out of there, are they going to continue to do that? Do they care about public safety anymore? You know, the one job of government, I always say, is to protect us from crooks and criminals, invaders and terrorists. And in places like Brazil, that's the one thing they don't do, right? They do an awful job at that. While they line their, while politicians line their pockets, and there's this massive corruption scandal going on in Brazil right now, where all politicians, like the, everybody in parliament, I think three quarters of the House and Senate, the equivalent of the House and Senate in Brazil, are under indictment. The president is being impeached for corruption. Everybody in politics in the federal government in Brazil is being, you know, gone after for corruption. They all have been lining their pockets. Now, I believe a lot of that happens in the United States in different, more subtle ways. You know, Hillary Clinton gets paid $250,000 to give a speech at Goldman Sachs. Why do you think that is? Because she's such a great speaker. You know, I can objectively tell you that I'm a better, more entertaining speaker than Hillary Clinton. I'm just better at it. Nobody pays me anywhere close to $250,000 a speech. But you know what? I have less favors to give. I'm not going to be president of the United States one day. I don't know everybody in government. I can't arrange good deals for you. So you're not going to pay me that kind of bucks. The only reason somebody like Hillary, Al Gore, any of these politicians, Republicans, Democrats, doesn't matter, get paid so much money as speakers is because they have favors to give, because they have the goodies to hand out at our expense. So our politicians are corrupt. Anyway, all this corruption is everywhere. So when we get back, I want to talk more about kind of the corruption behind the Olympics and the cost, the real cost that the Olympics have, and why it's fundamentally a corrupt institution in spite of their achievements. You're listening to Ron Brooks Show.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. Inbound Eisenhower, pretty solid between Wolf and Harlem. It's 56 minutes Thorndale to the post office. From Mannheim, takes about 42. The outbound lanes from the post office Mannheim, 32. To Thorndale's 45. Inbound on the Stevenson, heavy between 83 and County Line, also between Des Plaines and Kedzie, but solid delays between the Dan Ryan and Lakeshore Drive, 57 minutes, 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 46 minutes from the Tri-State. On the outbound lanes, takes about 43 minutes to the Tri-State, 53 minutes to 355. Inbound Dan Ryan, heavy between the Stevenson and the Circle, 21 minutes, 95th to downtown. Express lanes inbound, heavy between Pershing and the Stevenson. Taking a look at the temperatures tonight, 69 and cloudy. Tomorrow, 80 degrees and cloudy. Currently, it's about 82 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPP. P-O-R-T.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
You always listen to AM 560, The Answer. You've heard all about Turnkey IT, Chicagoland's leading IT service provider for small business. Turnkey provides world-class support and customizable plans for businesses with 5 to 100 users. And with some of Turnkey IT's programs, you get all new equipment, free security, and antivirus protection. Sound great? Then why haven't you called Turnkey IT? There's really no excuse. Turnkey IT is setting you up with their best offer yet. Through the summer, all AM 560 listeners receive their first month of service for just $1. Your business will receive comprehensive coverage, including unlimited help desk and online support, network hosting, and antivirus protection its first contracted month for just $1. Ready to make the switch? It's easy. Visit turnkey.pro now. That's turnkey.pro. and tell them AM560 The Answer sent you. Get ready to focus on the important things of your business and leave the technical stuff to the pros. Visit turnkey.pro today.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM560, The Answer.
So we're talking about some of the corruption that happens kind of in the background of the Olympics. And while, again, I'm a huge admirer of the athletes, of the individual achievements, of what goes into it. And by the way, the as far as I know, the Olympic Committee, the U.S. kind of Olympic Committee, the athletes and so on, the U.S. government does not fund any of that, at least as far as I can tell from reading up on this. This is all funded by the American Olympic Committee, and they get funding from sponsors and other things. So there's no taxpayer money that funds our athletes, although in most countries it's taxpayer money. And indeed in Russia, the taxpayers are not only paying for the athletes to train to compete, they're also training for all the doping that they do. So the Russian government actually organizes the doping, facilitates the doping, and pays for the doping. So they're much more efficient than we are. We rely on individual initiative for any doping that happens among our athletes. Pretty typical, right, of our economy versus the... So the cronyism, again, I don't think applies to the athletes. I think at least American athletes, they fund themselves. Now, most of them make very little money. Most of them make almost nothing. The Phelpses of the world, yeah, they make $50, $55 million. I hope that somebody like Simone Biles is going to get some great sponsorships and make a lot of money. I hope she becomes unbelievably rich off of her incredible athletic talent. But the fact is, most athletes that compete in the Olympics for the U.S., this is even more so for other countries, but certainly for the U.S., I'm never going to make any money. You know, I think they make $10,000 a year or $20,000 a year off of athletics. They have to work other jobs, and it's quite admirable, their commitment and their focus and their ability to focus and to commit and to become such amazing athletes, given the very small monetary incentives. And at the same time, so the athletes are not making any money off of these Olympics. So who is? Well, the International Olympic Committee, based in Switzerland, they get about, so the Olympic Games generate about $5 to $6 billion in revenue, right? $5 to $6 billion. Half of that goes to the International Olympic Committee, and they use that money to pay themselves pretty good salaries. So they do well, you know. But and I don't begrudge them the salaries because they put on a great event. Now, that's just what we know of. Now, there's also some reason to believe there's some, we know from soccer, from the international soccer, that there's some bribes that go on here, that some of the cities bribe these people. So I don't know if it happens to IOC, but given that it happens at soccer and everybody in soccer is under indictment right now because of it, they could probably be making more money under the table. Then the cost of the games, like the Athens games cost $16 billion. Athens, right? Greece. This is the country in massive economic decline, spent, 12 years ago, whatever it was, $16 billion on Olympic Games. Money they did not have. Money they borrowed. Borrowing that they have since defaulted on. Beijing spent $40 billion. Now, you could argue, the Chinese can afford it, but can they? Do you know how many poor people there are in Beijing and in China? People who are really poor, not poor like in America, really, really poor. Nothing. That close to starvation. And they spent $40 billion. Wouldn't that $40 billion have been better? I don't know. Big tax cut for business so they can create more jobs so that people can be less poor. You see, I believe the only way to reduce poverty, this is just a side point, right? The only way to reduce poverty is, and this is historically true everywhere in the world, the only way to reduce poverty is by increasing the amount of business, increasing the amount of production, increasing the amount that businesses are producing, because they're the ones who create jobs, they're the ones who create wealth, They're the ones who make the money that makes it possible to pay people. So they employ more people and they create more entrepreneurs. And that's how you get out of poverty. You don't get out of poverty through government programs. Politicians are not responsible for getting people out of poverty. Capitalism is. Businesses are. Bankers are. Evil bankers are. That's who gets people out of poverty. So we should, again, celebrate business success. Anyway, $20 billion in London, right? Huge amounts of money. The revenue generated, again, $5 to $6 billion. Now, they say, oh, it increases tourism. Really? Did nobody know that London was a great city before the Olympics? Everybody knows London, right? Now, I don't think tourism goes up and nowhere near enough to compensate for $20 billion of expenses. Think about the corruption of taxing your people in order to put on a big sporting event for the world. It's just horrific. Now, did Beijing improve their logistics? I've been in Beijing since the Olympics, stuck in traffic jams for hours. Many of the facilities in Beijing are white elephants. Nobody's using them. I think in London, they're a little bit better. In Athens, a disaster for the most part. Yeah, they cleaned up the museums. Maybe they could have done that anyway. So the Olympics was a excuse to do that stuff. Was it worth $16 billion? All that debt? I don't think so. Not for a poor country. In Rio, it's a disaster for Rio. They leveled favelas. They pulled people out of their homes. They stole their property. And they built golf courses instead. For whom? So, at the back of the Olympics, lots of corruption going on. And you know, while I love the achievement, I hate the institution. All right, you're listening to Yaron Brook Show. Follow me on Facebook, Yaron Brook, YaronBrook.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
If you have sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your big, bulky home CPAP device wherever you travel, what I'm about to tell you may sound too good to be true. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Even better, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for a full 10 days. Call us now, 1-800-900-4179. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. It's true. You can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere, anytime you want. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-900-4179. That's 1-800-900-4179.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, so we're talking about the beauty of the Olympics, the achievement of the Olympics, the, you know, the great athletes. And yet, in the background, you've got corruption. You've got waste. You've got government. You've got cronyism. Ugh, the worst kind of cronyism in every one of these cities. You got people becoming rich off of government, not of production, not off of creating values that all of us benefit from. No, off of pure, unadulterated corruption. And that's just horrific in my view. So you've got these athletes creating beauty. And there are ways to fix this. There are ways to fix this in the Olympics. I'm not an expert on this. You could have a permanent home for the Olympics. You could We could build facilities somewhere and keep using them every 4 years instead of going to different parts of the world. Now, there's a certain appeal of all of us sitting at home watching television and seeing different cities in the world, but the people in those cities are not benefiting from this. Not benefiting from this. And I know some of my listeners here are from Chicago, and Chicago, I think, has spent something like $100 million trying to get the Olympics to come to Chicago. You know what? It's good you're not going to get them. I think you try to get Chicago, they try to get the Olympics in 2016 Summer Games, these Summer Games right now, and you didn't get them. But it's good because this way you only lost $100 million. Now, remember, the Chicago school district is bankrupt, but it's okay to spend $100 million trying to get the Olympics to come to Chicago. But imagine if you got the Olympics and they actually came to Chicago. Now you're talking about losing billions and billions and billions of dollars. And you think the drive in from O'Hare would be any faster? No. And this is true of any city out there. You think the Olympics in Miami would, you know, all you do is lose billions of dollars for the city, which means lose billions of dollars out of your pocket. I mean, people talk about, Athens lost $16 billion or Beijing, they lost X billions of dollars. Whose money is that? Well, it's the people's money. It's the cities don't create money. It's like if Microsoft loses money or Apple loses money, that's shareholders' money. You know, you might be a shareholder, you lost some money. You might not be a shareholder. I don't own any Apple stock. I guess I have some index fund, but I don't hold any Apple stock. So if they lose money, they lose money. It's not my money. But if my city loses money, that's my money. I didn't ask to be a shareholder in my city. I'm forced to be a shareholder in my city. So government is not the same as a corporation. Corporation can sell the shares. I can't sell the shares of my local city. Right? I can't get out of, if LA decides to build a public transportation system that's not going to benefit anybody and going to cost a gazillion of dollars, and then they want to host the Olympics, and I think they're competing to host the Olympics in some future year, and that's going to cost me, the taxpayer, gazillions of dollars. I can't sell out. I can't not buy the product. It's my taxes. They come if I don't want to pay my taxes. You know what happens when you don't pay your taxes? You know what happens. They show up at your door with a gun, and they force you to pay it. So, all right. So government projects like the Olympics, the government shouldn't get involved. You want to do the Olympics? Privatize it. Let's get private corporations to fund the whole thing. Let them buy some land somewhere in the middle of nowhere, build an Olympic village, and use it year after year and host, bring all the athletes. It shouldn't come out. No taxpayer should ever have to pay for the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I love the celebration of human achievement. I hope you do too. But I don't believe it should be at the expense of my taxes, your taxes, the citizens of Rio's taxes and property. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. I'm back here every week. See you next week.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia